Now, our scripture reading today will be taken from Deuteronomy 13. If you have your Bibles, we would ask that you open to Deuteronomy chapter 13. If you're visiting today, we're going straight through this book of Deuteronomy, and you've joined us today as we've come to the 13th chapter. We're in the practical part of the book of Deuteronomy. This is the part where Moses actually, after giving about 11 chapters of expressing to the people the importance of carefully studying and understanding the Word of God and understanding the very words, now he applies it to different situations in life. And the application that you're going to see this morning probably is going to seem to be pretty foreign to the way that most people think, which basically shows us how foreign we are in our understanding of God. When we read through this text this morning, you'll probably say, well, we're a little more sophisticated than that. In fact, we're more morally pathetic than what is described here. But here's the way God thinks about this, beginning at verse 1 of chapter 13. If a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes true, concerning which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods whom you've not known, and let us serve them. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or the dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to find out if you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall follow the Lord your God and fear him, and you shall keep his commandments, listen to his voice, serve him, and cling to him. But that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has counseled rebellion against the Lord your God, who brought you from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery to seduce you from the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk, so you shall purge the evil from among you. If your brother, your mother's son, or your son or daughter, or the wife you cherish, or your friend who is at your own soul, entice you secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods whom neither you nor your fathers have known, of the gods of the peoples who are around you, near you or far from you, from one end of the earth to the other end, you shall not yield to him or listen to him, and your eyes shall not pity him, nor shall you spare or conceal him, but you shall surely kill him. Your hand shall be first against him to put him to death, and afterwards the hand of all the people. So you shall stone him to death, because he has sought to seduce you from the Lord your God, who brought you out from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Then all Israel will hear and be afraid, and will never again do such wicked things among you. Now I want to pause here before we read on. There are people that say the death penalty is not a deterrent. It is. I don't care what people say. This is what the Word of God says. It is. When the death penalty is issued, it is a deterrent to people in society that basically says, you don't want to do that. You don't want to cross that line. And right here you see the point, because there in verse 11, God says, when you put the person to death, all Israel will hear and be afraid and will never again do such a wicked thing among you. It's a deterrent. Now verse 12, if you hear in one of your cities, which the Lord your God is giving you to live in, anyone saying that some worthless men have gone out from among you and have seduced the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods whom you've not known, then you shall investigate and search out and inquire thoroughly if it is true and the matter established that this abomination has been done among you. You shall surely strike the inhabitants of that city with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying it and all that is in it and its cattle with the edge of the sword. Then you shall gather all its booty into the middle of its open square and burn the city and all its booty with fire as a whole burnt offering to the Lord your God, and it shall be ruined forever. It shall never be rebuilt. Nothing from that which is put under the ban shall cling to your hand, in order that the Lord may turn from his burning anger and show mercy to you and have compassion on you and make you increase just as he has sworn to your fathers. If you will listen to the voice of the Lord your God, keeping all his commandments, which I'm commanding you today, and doing what is right in the sight of the Lord your God. Now, frankly, that passage seems so out of touch with reality because We're really not, as a nation, interested in doing what God's Word says, frankly. But hopefully, as we go through this today, at least we will be in our own lives and in the life of the church. Will you join with me, please, in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious Word. We thank you for your mercy, your compassion, your blessings. This passage clearly shows us that you do want us to be people who are very seriously dedicated to your Word. And obviously, from just reading this text, you want us to stay far away from anything that is false religion. I would pray that we would see the peril and danger of sinking into a religious mire of man-made traditions and works and rituals. May we take your Word seriously. May we understand your Word. May we apply your Word all the days of our life on this earth. I pray we would analyze things in light of Scripture. And Lord, as we look at this very text, I would say that we as a nation, and probably all of us as individuals, have fallen far short of the glory of what you really wanted us to do and be. Lord, this passage right here shows that we have not measured up to doing what your Word says. So people who think they keep the law and they can get to heaven by keeping the law are just making a very foolish mistake, because we obviously haven't done that when you read this text. I pray that you would grant us wisdom to accurately know your written Word. I pray we would be able to sift through the schemes of the evil one and have a life that ends up pleasing thee. And we realize, Lord, what we do here at church is serious business. We can be here today and we can be gone tomorrow. So it's serious what we do here. We would pray that you would cause us to take worship very seriously and not take it lightly. We want to pray for the sick. They need your merciful healing. We pray for the lost. They need your saving. We pray for the confused. They need your truth reviving. We would ask that you would work here today in our midst. Minister, use your Word to accomplish what it's intended to accomplish. And we'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. We're living in a time when the cry of the religious world is tolerance. We are told that we need to get along with each other. We need to respect each other, especially when it comes to religion. Religious tolerance, we're told, is a great virtue. It's the mark of real cultural sophistication. It's the politically correct way to think. The problem is when you stack that up against the Word of God, that's false. I don't know if we begin to grasp the seriousness of false religion, but let's be real point blank on this issue. False religion sends people to hell to burn there forever. That's what false religion does. Now, when it comes to the subject of religion, there's a smorgasbord from which you may choose. Out in this world, there are denominations of all kinds. There are religions and churches that will scratch any itch you may ever have. You could actually be involved in a sin that the Bible would classify as abominable, abominable sin. And you can go out there and you can find a church that will tell you that that abominable sin is just fine and you can still worship God. But the truth is, when it comes to religion, as Doug McIntosh said in his commentary, falsehood on any level is lethal. Now, we saw last time that Moses stressed there was a certain kind of knowledge from which God's people need to stay clear. There are some things that God's people don't want to study. One of them is things in false religion. You want to stay clear of that. What we're after here is truth, the truth of God, the truth of the Word of God. We're not after traditional things invented by men. We're not after religious rituals. We're not after denominational catechisms. We're after truth. And the only way to understand truth is you crawl through the entirety of the Scripture, book by book, verse by verse, and you understand the whole counsel of God. Now, whether it's the Old Testament or the New Testament, God wants his people to be able to spot phony ministers. God wants his people to be able to spot those people who are involved in religion that is just frankly false and not true. False ministers are not just confused, they're dangerous. For example, when Paul wrote his letter to Titus on the island of Crete, he said, "You establish churches in every city." But he said, "You need to understand this. There are people out there who must be silenced. They're religious people. They have to be silenced. They are upsetting whole families. They're teaching things that they should not teach for the sake of sordid gain." That idea is certainly not new to the Apostle Paul writing to Titus on the island of Crete. That is the idea that was presented right here in Deuteronomy by Moses. Moses wanted the nation Israel to understand the same principle. God's people are to test and eliminate false ministers because they'll lead people away from God and his word. They'll lead people to destruction. You know, when Paul wrote that great epistle to the Galatians where he defends the grace of God, he said, "I just marvel that you are so soon removed from the truth. I just can't imagine that you would allow teachers and religious leaders to creep into the church contrary to the grace of God. It just baffles me that you would let that happen." He said, "There are religious teachers and they are to be accursed." Some of you today probably think it's cute to go to some religious place to watch the little kids be part of it, even if it's a false religious place. And you may think God just sits idly by in heaven thinking, "Oh, isn't that nice? They're going to some religious ritual because the family would like them to go." Tell you what, this text says God doesn't think it's funny and God doesn't think it's cute. It's serious business as to what we do and where we go when we say we're going to worship God. Now, this is a fascinating chapter that really instructs us concerning the value of you stick to the word. You spot phony ministers. You spot people that are pulling people away from truth, pulling them away from a true relationship with God. And I tell you this right now, most of the religions of the world will do just that. They'll pull you away from an accurate understanding of the word, and they will pull you in a direction that will pull you away from a good relationship with the Lord. Now, we've seen the emphasis that God places on the word as we've been going through this book of Deuteronomy. God said in chapter 12, "I want you to understand the very words that I've written." He says, "I want you to do this as long as you live on earth. You be focused on understanding my words as long as you live on earth. And if you'll do that, it will be well with you." And when God's people would cross the Jordan and get into the promised land, this is what they were to do. This is how they were to operate concerning other religions. And God says, "If you want my blessings, if you want my favor, if you want my fellowship, you have to stay clear of religious things that are going to pull you away from me because they're false." And there are three main false minister revelations that he presents in this chapter. Number one, God's people need to eliminate false ministers who lead them away from God's truth, verses 1 to 5. I want you to understand this about false ministers. These guys are smooth. They appear genuine. False ministers have an aura about them. They can be charismatic and they can be persuasive. Moses lays out some extremely important information about these false guys here when he says, I'll tell you what they typically do. They typically come at you not with a focus on the word of God, but on their dreams. They typically come at you with a focus on visions they claim they've seen or feelings they say they have. These are the kinds of people that they're always using as an authority base what they dreamt or what they saw. They don't ever really promote a serious focus on a systematic study of the Word of God. In fact, these people tend to operate by their feelings and their dreams and their visions. Now, Paul did say that We are up against forces of darkness and spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places, and there are people who ultimately will come at you from all angles in the world of religion. And the key, Paul said, to having victory over them is you have your loins girded with truth. Truth. You understand the truth of God. That's how you can spot these phonies. Let's use Muhammad as an example. He claims that he, in some vision or dream, got a magical winged horse who took him on a ride one night from Mecca to Jerusalem to heaven and back to Mecca. And the horse's name was not Silver, Trigger, Seabiscuit, or Secretariat. The horse's name was Barak. Barak. And he claimed he rode that horse and he went to heaven. And while he was in heaven, Allah revealed a bunch of things to him, including the fact that his favorite animal on earth was a cat. Now, in this world right now, there are 1.8 billion people that believe that. Now, these people will tell you they love God. But when you square what they believe with the Bible, it's not the kind of love for God that he describes. Because it's not a love that's based on truth. It's based on a fairy tale told to them by a dreamer. Now, at this time in God's program, they didn't have a lot of access to the written word like we do. So if someone came along and made some wild dream statement, or I got this vision from God, people were just open to, well, what did he say? And Moses said, sometimes you're going to square off against people that will say they've got a vision from God or they received a dream from God, and it may in fact even come true. But don't you believe it. Because if they're not trying to point you into a relationship with me that's based on my word, they're trying to pull you away from me. There are people here that'll come into your world, and that's exactly what they're going to try to do. Satan is good at that stuff. Allowing the supernatural to try to lure my own people away from me. Now, Moses himself had squared off with some of these kinds of guys earlier when he delivered Israel from Egypt. He had actually gone before Pharaoh, and he was able to do some spectacular things, like, for example, turn the river into blood. He was able to produce frogs and things of that nature. And then Pharaoh called in his magicians, and they were able either to, by trickery or by perhaps satanic power, were able to do something that was very similar to that. So Moses said, don't use that as a basis for determining who's true and who's right. Don't use what they claim they say they can do in the miraculous realm. In fact, Jesus said there will be many who, when they face me one day, will say, well, look at all the supernatural things we did in your name. In your name we cast out demons and we perform miracles. And Christ will say, I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me. So what Moses says is, look, when you get over there, I don't care what the person says, but you need to be careful about who you're going to listen to. And if somebody comes along and gives you this sensational story, or they got this mystical dream, or they had this vision, and they're trying to get you to believe it, then you carefully see to it if they're bringing you to a careful, accurate understanding of the Word of God. And if they are not doing that, they're false. And he said there are three responses you're to have to a guy like that. Don't listen to him. Number one, verse 3, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. See, the key to knowing what's false is you know what's true. You understand the scriptures. Satan, when he tripped up Eve back in Genesis, once he found out she didn't really understand what the Word of God actually said, because God had said to her, in the day you eat of the fruit, you'll die. When Satan's talking to her, she said, well, God told us when you eat of it or touch it, you'll die. God never said when you touch it, you'll die. But Satan knew right then she doesn't really know what she's talking about. And as a result of that, he was able to lure her away from God. There will be times when God's people are going to be approached by some religious shyster. They're going to claim they've got a message from God, they got a dream from God, they've had a vision from God. They always talk in the subjective. They're never really serious about studying the Word of God, and they come into your life and they come into your world, and God says, I want you to know why I'm letting them be in your world. I'm testing you. I'm testing you to see how serious you are about me and my Word. I allow them to come into your life to test you to see if you really take me and my Word seriously. I'll permit, at times, religious con men to come into your world to determine, do you love me, do you love my Word, or do you want to just go the way that they're talking about? I'll allow smooth-talking, religious, persuasive guys to come into your world, and typically, they won't be focused on the Word of God, they'll be focusing on their own experiences. Well, this is what we've seen God do, and this is what God told me, and this is what we've seen the Lord do. They're not focused on the Word of God. He said, I'm allowing them to come into your life to see whether or not you really trust me and believe me. Shortly after I came to faith in Jesus Christ, I had a burning desire to know God's written word, right from the get-go. I didn't know anything about the Word of God. I know I went to a Christian bookstore and bought a couple of books. I still remember the first two I bought, Matthew Henry's commentary and Warren Wiersbe's little commentary on Ephesians. I don't even know why I bought them. I just bought them and read them. But I went to work, and after I left radio, in the Brown Company, and I was working on my shift at the Brown Company one night, and a guy comes over to me shortly after I was studying the scriptures and reading these books. He said, I hear you're a Christian. And I said, yeah, I'm a Christian. He said, well, have you really received the second blessing? I go, I don't even know what you're talking about. Well, have you spoken in tongues? I didn't know what that was. I said, well, show me in the Bible what you're talking about. Well, he quoted a couple of fragment verses. He didn't show me anything from the Bible. He quoted a couple of fragment verses, which ultimately I was able to track down, and along with my brother Tim, who was theologically shrewd, he was able to make sense of stuff and straighten me out. I was able to see that guy's not interested in truth. He's in a feeling type of operation. That movement that he's in is not leading people to focus on the written scriptures in any way, shape, or form. It's a movement that pulls people away by their feelings. It's a movement that pulls people away by their emotions. So before I left the Brown Company to move to Grand Rapids, I went back to that guy. And I said, you know, you confronted me many months ago with something. Well, I've been able to track it down. You're false. It's not of God. And unless you get away from it and get away from the nonsense, you'll face God and you'll be ashamed one day. It's the last thing I said to the guy. Now, what this text teaches me is God allowed that to happen. Because what he was basically seeing is how serious you're going to be about my word. You're going to go to work about understanding me. You're just going to follow some guy who's telling you some religious story. God says, I want my people dedicated to my word. So if somebody comes along and gives you their experience or their vision or their dream, don't listen to them. Secondly, you follow the written word. Look at what he stresses in verse 4. You shall follow the Lord your God and fear him, and you shall keep his commandments, listen to his voice, serve him, and cling to him. We're talking here about a serious commitment to the scriptures. You love the Word of God, you listen to the Word of God, which is the voice of God. Moses said, here's what you do. You go to work on reverencing the Lord, you go to work on carefully understanding and applying the Scriptures, and you listen to the voice of God and cling to Him. Don't listen to the voice of some religious guy who's telling you about his dreams and visions and how God told him to do this and told him to do that. Don't listen to that. Listen to my voice that comes from the Word of God. But then he takes it up a notch. Because he says, when you get over in that land, you execute a false minister. Verse 5 is hardball. But when that prophet or dreamer of dreams who is told these things tried to pull you away from God, he shall be put to death. As I mentioned in the scripture reading this morning, the death penalty is a biblical mandate. It is a detriment. And you say, well, boy, just because the guy was a little wrong in religion, that seems so harsh to put a guy to death just because he's a little off base in religion. Do you understand this? These people kill the souls of other people. These false religious people pull people away from God. These false religions lead people away from the Word of God. These false religious leaders lead people into hell. And Moses said, when you get over there, you don't play patty cake with them. When you spot them, and they've tried to present their dreams or visions of their religious system, and it's contrary to my word, then you exterminate them, get rid of them. Now, we don't live in a dispensation where we have the privilege of doing that because the carrying out of law is given to the government, according to Romans 13. So we live in a dispensation of the church and the dispensation of grace where the government has the responsibility to see to it that those that are false and those that do evil are punished. So it's not our prerogative. But here's what we certainly can do. We certainly can exterminate this from our own lives and from our church. It boggles my mind. Sometimes when you'll hear people in the church talking about how they support religious charlatans, there are religious people taking in millions and millions of dollars, and they're not presenting the truth of God. And it's like people are just supporting them. That should be stopped. And we certainly know that Paul was pretty serious about that in the church. He says a church has to remove a leader that's presenting something false. You don't tolerate them. You don't appease them. You get them out of there. When Paul wrote his last letters before he was killed, two of the last were 1 and 2 Timothy. And when he wrote those epistles, he said, Hymenaeus and Alexander, I've delivered over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. He names a bunch of people in 2 Timothy, Phygellus, Hermogenes, Demas, Alexander the coppersmith, Hymenaeus, Philetus. He said, these are dangerous men. These aren't just guys confused. These are dangerous men. So you keep your eye on them. Don't let them into the church because they don't belong there. They'll pull you away from God. That's what Moses is saying. You spot guys that'll pull you away from the Word of God, you get rid of them. That's the first false minister revelation that Moses gives to Israel. But then, he takes it up a notch. Do the same thing with relatives. In other words, you need to eliminate false relatives who will lead you away from God and His Word. Verse 6, if your brother, your mother's son or daughter, or the wife you cherish, or your friend, who is as your own soul, entice you secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods whom neither you nor your fathers have known. Hear the word of God well on this point. There is no relationship on this earth that is more important than your relationship with God. Understand this point. There's no relationship on this earth that is more important than your relationship with God. And don't kid yourself. There are family members who will try to lure you away from that. There are family members who will try to lure you away from a focus on God's word. You get into a place where God's word is seriously taught, and you can discover that perhaps some people from your own family will try to pull you away from that. Don't you listen to them and don't you budge. Unless you think I'm misreading this, verse 6 lists some of the family members who can try to do it. We're talking about close relatives here. We're talking about a brother, a mother's son, your own daughter, your own wife, a dear friend. There are family members that will try to lure you away from a church like this one, that's focused on the written word of God to get you to go to religious stuff that isn't even biblical. And what just fries me is some people go. Well, we've got to go to the church. Oh, we know it's not a good church. It's not a true church. Doesn't even present the truth. But we've got to go because it's our first communion. Or we've got to be there because it's their infant baptism. Oh, we have to go. Why? Because it's a relative of ours. Instead of somebody saying, hey, wait a minute. You think for 1 second I'm going to walk away from a church that's feeding me the Word of God to go to that type of thing? No way. No way. God says to his people here, when you get over there and one of your family members tries to lure you away from truth, lure you away from true worship, lure you away from the Word of God, then this is how you respond to them. You don't listen to them. You don't yield or listen to them. You don't pity them. You don't spare them. You don't conceal them. You execute them. There is no way you should allow anybody from your family to cause you to step 1 foot in a religious organization that is heretical. And if you go, God sees it, and he knows it. We're not talking here about a confused family member. We're talking here about a person who's literally trying to pull people away from God. We're talking about a family member that's trying to pull his people away from the Word of God. I mean, if the family member really cared about truth, they'd be saying, well, we don't want you coming over here. We want you staying where you're at. Now again, we don't have the ability to execute people, and I'll tell you what, you look at that and you say, well, I would never do that. I would never do that. That's right. You probably wouldn't. If it were your son or your daughter, you probably wouldn't do that, and that shows you don't keep the law, doesn't it? It shows us we're all guilty of not keeping the law. We've broken the law, every single one of us. And it also shows how distorted we are in our concept of the righteousness of God. Because God says, this is the way my family members are supposed to operate. You get away from those kinds of people that are pulling you away from me. Man, I've known of family members who have another family member that's involved in a false religious system, and they're proud of it. It's shameful. There's nothing to be proud about there. Because they're going into a religious system that's never going to lead people into a true understanding of Jesus Christ, and it's never going to lead people into a true understanding of the Word of God. Those people shouldn't be esteemed, they should be exposed. And the Apostle Paul said, if someone comes preaching another gospel, I don't even care if it's an angel. Let him be accursed. He said that in the context of people who are trying to put people back under the Old Testament law. Can you actually promote a church that's trying to put people back under the Old Testament law and in good conscience say, oh, go there, it's wonderful. That's a violation of the Word of God. But you see, here's the bottom line of this. Loyalty to God is more important in the mind of God than loyalty to any family member or friends. Loyalty to the truth of God is more important than loyalty to family member or friends. And Moses says, when you get over there in that land, if you have relatives that try to pull you into false religion, anything false religion, you get away from them. And ultimately, you destroy them. And then he takes it up another notch. And also, you eliminate false places that lead people away from truth. In verse 12, if you hear in one of your cities, which the Lord your God is giving you to live in, anyone saying that some worthless men have gone out from among you and have seduced the inhabitants of their city. Now, you don't want to fly off half-cocked about this stuff. I get that. In fact, Moses is very careful to point out here in verse 14, you need to do thorough investigation of exactly what's being propagated. But frankly, once you discover that there are cities that are promoting things that are contrary to the word of God, God says, when you're in my land, you need to destroy them. You need to burn them down. There are cities that frankly should be just toppled to the ground, and one day God's going to bring them down. I'll tell you one, Salt Lake City. It's responsible for millions of people burning in hell right now. How about Mecca, Saudi Arabia? How about the Vatican in Rome? It's responsible for millions and millions of people. How about those false religious temples in New York? That's why Revelation makes a prediction that there'll come a day when all these cities of the world are coming down. God will do it. I mean, we don't have to do it. But what we see in verse 14 is God takes his word seriously, and he says in verse 14, you inquire thoroughly if it's true and the matter established that this abomination has been done among you. What is the abomination? The abomination is you've got somebody in religion, and somebody in religion is trying to pull people away from the word of God and from the truth of God into false religion. That's the abomination. Do you understand the classification God gives to this when he calls it abomination? This is the same thing that he categorizes sexual perversion. This is the same thing that he categorizes as child sacrifices to pagan deities. This is the same level of thing that he classifies as demonism and Satanism. Now, you can't walk away from this 13th chapter in Deuteronomy and say, boy, false teaching is just a fluffy issue. It's a no-brain issue. It's not a light matter in the sight of God. And God says, if you find a city and it's promoting false religion, and it's trying to pull people away from me, it's trying to pull people away from my word and from my truth, then you take that city and you take all the wealth of it and you burn it before the Lord. And those of you who are involved in watching false religious programs in your home and thinking, nobody cares. It's religious stuff. You be warned. God sees and God does care. And he says, if my people are willing to follow through on this, if they're willing to make a clean break from false religion, they're willing to love me, fear me, go to work on carefully understanding my word, then he says there'll be four results. My anger will be thwarted. My mercy will be given. My compassion will be given. And numerical increase will be given. In other words, if you will be serious about me and my word, I'll see to it that blessings will flow to you. But if not, I'll be angry. I'll withhold mercy I could have given to you. I'll withhold compassion that I could have given to you. And I'll withhold blessings. You stay serious about me. You stay serious about your relationship with me. You stay serious about my word. In fact, that's how he wraps it up in verse 18. If you will listen to the voice of the Lord your God, keeping all his commandments, which I'm commanding you today, and doing what is right in the sight of the Lord your God, then all of these blessings will be yours. Now, what this chapter shows is that this nation, this state, and we as individuals have not measured up to the law of God. We haven't done this. You can't honestly read Deuteronomy 13 and say, well, I've done that. There isn't a person here who's done that. Which tells us then we've all broken the law. Which means if we're going to be saved, something's going to have to be done about the fact that we've broken the law. Now, you can go out there in this world and you'll run into a bunch of religious people that will tell you the way that you can resolve this is by your works. You can go out there in the world, and if you will get real religious and you'll follow men's traditions and you'll follow our codes and the rules that we've put forward, then somehow you're going to work out a deal with God where he's going to let you into heaven. God's word says, no way. No way. You've all sinned. You've all fallen short of the glory of God. There's one way that you can have a relationship with me. That's Jesus Christ. And Christ says, when I went to the cross, I nailed that law to the cross. So you know today, just by looking at that chapter, you've broken the law of God. The question is, have you accepted Christ to get you out from under the law? Let's pray. If you've never trusted Christ as Savior, right now in this moment, you can settle that. And if I were you, I would. Many of us did this years ago, right where you sit. This is business between you and God. You invite the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life to be your Savior. Pray something like this. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I see it right in this passage. I know I've broken your law. I ask Jesus Christ to take over my life right now. Our Father, we thank you for the word of God. Forgive us for times when we've been loose. Forgive us for times when we haven't been as focused as we need to be on the written scriptures, as firm as we need to be. We know that there's a balance between tenderness and toughness when you go through the scriptures, Lord, and certainly when we see a text like this, you do not cut any slack to false religion. I pray we would never do that either. I pray we'd be strong people who would stand for truth and what's right, never budge one inch or move into anything that's false. And I pray that you'd be pleased with us for doing that. In Jesus' name, amen.